The case against Rex Huerman, the man accused of being the Long Island serial killer, is only in its infancy, yet we have learned so much so quickly. This Labor Day, we look back at how this case has evolved. This is the Hidden Killers Podcast, Labor Day Long Island Look Back.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We're talking to Rex Huerman on this segment. We're talking with attorney Eric Battis, former federal prosecutor and personal injury attorney. Eric, when we're looking at the Rex Huerman profile, considering the extensive geographical spread of the victims, what might have been some of his deciding factors in choosing these locations? We're seeing he frequented Las Vegas, he frequented South Carolina, obviously Long Island, and a couple other places in between.
Yeah, in some of the reports that I'm reading, it looks like the allegation is that he committed a lot of these murders at his home while his family was not there.
Yeah.
It's my understanding he also has a timeshare or some sort of residence in Las Vegas, and he may have had two of them at some point. And so I'm wondering if he chose these locations. Long Island is home base for him. He knows the lay of the land there. Vegas is notorious for sex work. And so I'm wondering if he picked these locations, set up shop, got his residence there, a place where he could actually carry out these gruesome acts, allegedly, and not have anyone looking over his shoulder and be able to control that environment. And it looks like that is what he did, according to law enforcement authorities.
The family hasn't really said a whole lot other than the wife has decided to get a divorce. Good for her. And a lot of people looking at this family going, how did you not know? Kerry Rawson, who his father was BTK, spoke about that and said it's a lot easier than you think for someone to be doing these sort of things right underneath your nose. Have you ever dealt with that with a client or a situation where the family was completely oblivious to things that otherwise, maybe looking back in hindsight, there were some red flags, but when you're in that situation, just too close to really see it?
Oh, sure. I don't want to get into too many details of client stuff, but generally speaking, it's easy for family members to look through rose-colored glasses at their loved one and say, oh, gosh, little Johnny could never have done anything like this. He's not capable of. And then I'm reading the evidence log and I'm saying, yikes, there's weapons and masks and everything else in here. You sure he's such a saint? I think that there's just a natural bias that everyone has in favor of their loved ones, people they know, people they care about, that, oh, they could never do this. And then lo and behold, when the report comes out, it tells a very different and darker tale. And yeah, I've had a number of scenarios where I've had to have discussions with loved ones, with the client's consent, of course, regarding the true nature and status of the case.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of revelations that happen during those conversations.
Are there ever situations that I'm not implicating that this family should be looked at or charged with anything? Obviously, due diligence should be done to see how much anyone knew. But is there ever times or should there be possibly charges that go then against family members if they did have knowledge of the crimes, depending on how in-depth it was, if it was simply overlooked, simply we don't talk about this? We know he does something, but we don't know what. Would that be looked at as a crime in some way, shape, or form if you're somewhat harboring someone of that nature and you just don't want to deal with it? Or are there protections in place for individuals where they're victims of abuse, essentially, and they didn't know what to do because of the situation they found themselves in?
Sure. And specific laws vary by jurisdictions. But what comes to mind is, gosh, I forget the name now, but there was a recent school shooter who was really acting out in school. There were red flags for the school and they told the family and the family brushed it off, allegedly. And in fact, I believe one of the family members, the father, I think, even provided a firearm to the eventual school shooter. And ultimately, those parents were charged with crimes as well as the school shooter for being essentially accomplices, for being complicit in what happened and for providing some sort of meaningful assistance in those horrendous acts. And so I think it's really a fine line in terms of what did the family member know? What assistance did they provide, if any, to either help carry out the act or possibly help cover it up? These are all questions local prosecutors have to go over with a fine-tooth comb and make judgment calls in terms of who needs to be held culpable for these egregious things that happen in our society. And it certainly wouldn't be unprecedented for a family member to be charged because they had knowledge knowledge, they perhaps provided assistance, they did not prevent some tragedy. And that's becoming, I think, even a bigger trend more recently.
There's that fine line. There's ignorance, and then there is, I guess, intentional ignorance. Is that what they really have to determine when deciding if they want to prosecute someone who was that close to someone who maybe did aid but didn't really know the true nature of what they were aiding in?
Yeah, I think that comes up a lot in a ton of accomplice type cases, not only when it comes to parents or family members. Oftentimes someone says, gosh, I knew something a little shady was going on, but they're my loved one. I had their back. I drove them somewhere, or I provided them with something they asked me for, or something like that. And I think simply having an ignorance of the ultimate final act or the severity of the ultimate final act is not necessarily defense to accomplice liability in Colorado, at least. And the fact that these folks didn't maybe know the whole picture does not necessarily immunize them from criminal charges.
I always find it interesting to hear what did the suspect, what did the person with the crimes alleged against him say when they were caught? Heuermann allegedly said, is it in the news at the time of his arrest? What do you think that says about him, the case in general?
Does it say something about him? Does it say something about our culture? I think that there are a lot of questions that can be asked. But I think anyone hearing that would say, gosh, that's not what I expect a completely innocent person who was framed to say. Sure. You expect the person to say, what in the world are you talking about? I have no knowledge of this. I'm completely innocent. I want to talk to a lawyer, or something along those lines. To ask if it's in the news seems a little more consistent with what some people view as a serial killer profile, where they're narcissistic. They like the fame. They like the notoriety. And that statement is certainly consistent with that serial killer profile.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts, and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member, exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.